tonight. We're talking about finances. And I just want to read here from my notes. The goal of these lessons is to help you become financially wise and debt-free. The goal is not to be rich, okay? That's not the goal of these classes, but to be a faithful and good steward or manager of resources that God has given us, okay? There are dangers both in being rich, and there's dangers of living on borrowed money. So we need to fall in between here. Basically, the idea is this. Again, just to be a good steward of what God has given us. We don't want to just waste what God has given us. And there is a lot of waste, especially here in America. Just look what people put out of their trash and so forth. Now, I don't encourage you to go around looking at people's trash, but by the way, I didn't find any vacuum cleaners this week. Anyway, I do find a number of them from time to time. And if they're, by the way, I don't know if I told you this, but if they're junk, I think I did tell you that. I cut the cord off, and then I saved the cords, and that's copper. And copper's not cheap. And so if you take that to the recycler after a while, you get a decent amount of money from it. So anyway, again, I used to save a little bit of scrap metal. I quit doing that. The price is not hardly worthwhile, so I don't do that. But anyway, I want to share this with you, and then we'll pray. I got this in the mail this week. It's for a credit card. By the way, I have two credit cards, and I don't say this as a boast, but I never one time in I don't know how many years never paid 1 cent of interest on those credit cards. Never one time. If you cannot control your spending and you have a credit card, I would encourage you to cut it up and get rid of it. Okay? A credit card can be helpful, but it can also be very easy to go into debt when you have a credit card. And so be careful of that, because how many of you would like to make, if you're investing or have savings, by the way, if you have a savings account, which I'd encourage you to have one, to have a little bit of money, and we'll talk about that. But how many of you have a savings account? Raise your hand. All right. How many of you in your savings account make $2 a month interest? Wow. So I make about 8 cents a month. That's pretty good, huh? No, that's terrible. But how would you like to get 25% interest on your savings account? That'd be pretty nice, wouldn't it? What do we get? Not even a percent, right? It's like 0.01, you know, or something like that. It's something. But anyway, if you have a credit card, and if you get one from this company, it says here, first of all, they'll give you a $100 credit on your monthly bill. Sounds pretty good, but listen to what they're making on this. No annual fee and no foreign transaction fees for new accounts. Variable purchase APRs are 21.74% or 25.74% for the Verizon Visa credit card. Or 18.74%. Then they have a comma, 21.74% or 25.74% for the Visa, Verizon Visa Signature credit card. APRs are accurate as of August the 1st, 2021, and will vary with the market based on prime rate as defined in your credit card agreement. Minimum interest charge is $2. What they mean by that, let's say you put $5 on that credit card, you go someplace and get a hamburger and a french fry and a soda, costs $5, and you decided that month you're not going to pay that off at the end of the month, and you let that go. Well, $5, should only charge you about 8 cents interest, right? Well, they're going to charge you $2 minimum interest on that. So that meal that you ate cost you $7, okay? Isn't that ridiculous? But that's why we have to learn to be good stewards of our money. And this is what I do with stuff like that. Okay? I don't want a credit card. I already have one. And again, like I said, and it's not a boast, folks. It's just being very careful. I don't put anything on that credit card that I know I don't have money to cover, because I want to pay that credit card off every single month and never pay any interest on that. Now, you know, it may happen, but like I said, if you cannot control your spending, cut that credit card up and get rid of it. Don't have a credit card. Make sure of that, because you're going to pay some pretty hefty finance charges on that. All right, well, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. I'm really hoping and praying, Father, that these Sunday school lessons on finances can help us to be good stewards of what you have given to us. And Father, our goal is not to be rich. Actually, as I give thought to that, if we live in the United States of America, we are pretty rich. We have far more than most other people in other parts of the world. And we have a lot to be thankful for, and we certainly need to be good stewards of what you've given to us. And we'll thank you and praise you for the things that you accomplish, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, a couple things here. We're still going to just talk through some things before I get to some of the steps I think that we ought to do in order to be good stewards. So we'll get to that probably next week. Proverbs 23:4 says, labor not to be rich. John 6:27 says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Even though we are not to labor to be rich or to trust in uncertain riches, we need to be prudent regarding our finances, because we are supposed to be good stewards of what the Lord has entrusted us. Proverbs 11:28, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. So we see there, we're not to trust in our riches. In 1 Timothy 6:17, why don't we turn there this morning? Let's all look at this. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. It says in 1 Timothy 6:17, charge, has the idea to command, them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. We're supposed to trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And by the way, he does. He's given us the ability to earn what we get. He wants us to work. In fact, he says if you don't work, then you shouldn't eat. And so God has enabled us to be able to work. Now, understand, sometimes people cannot work because of physical disability or something like that. There might be something they can do, but not always. And so, but we are to work, and we're not to trust in uncertain riches. By the way, you can be wealthy and lose it just like that, right? Riches can disappear in a hurry. And so don't trust in riches, but trust in the living God. All right, it says in verse 18, here's the other thing you're to charge them, that they do good and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And again, that word communicate there has the idea of helping, okay? And so we ought to help people who have real needs. Now, here's my concern with that is, I be honest with you, I'm being open and transparent with you. I find it hard to help someone who's being very foolish with their finances, because I feel they already have the resources there, but they're splurging on things and they're not taking care of their finances. And again, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like, and I used to hear this on Larry Burkett radio program years ago, you do not help your children if they don't know how to handle finances and you keep giving them money. You're not helping them. You're just enabling them to continue in what they're doing, and so you've got to fix the problem, which is overspending. And we're good at doing that because we are not content with what we have. We think we've got to go out to eat, or we've got to buy this particular thing. Oh, so-and-so has this. I have to have this. Even though I don't have the money, I'll just put it on my credit card, or I'll just spend money that was really should have been for food or doctor bill or something like that and spend it on this thing that I think I have to have. And so we've got to fix those problems before we just hand them money because, again, we're just enabling them. We're not helping them. Okay, everybody understand that? And so, again, but as Christians, we are to help one another. You know, it kind of goes back to this idea. You know, you can go to, missionaries go to foreign countries sometimes, and depending what faith they are or so forth, they might help feed people, and that's a good thing. But wasn't it somebody once said, you teach a man how to fish, and he'll have food for the rest of his life? And so, you know, you've got to teach somebody how to live and how to make money and how to get things so that you can help them. Otherwise, you just give them something. You maybe fed them for a day, but what about the future? And so, you know, it's the same idea here with our finances. Verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. So, again, you know, when we do these things, I believe God is well pleased when we help people, but we've got to help people. That's why if you have financial problems, as much as I can, if you ever want to sit down and talk with me, I will try to help you with those situations. But here's the thing. You've got to listen and you've got to put them into practice. You know, I remember pastors, he read last week, and it made me think, wow, that's a good verse for what we're talking about. A wise man will hear and do. A foolish man will hear and not do. So if you don't, you know, you can hear all about finances and learn some things that you ought to do, but if you don't practice them, they're not going to help you. You're going to be in the same position you've been in for many years, and you're not going to be able to balance your finances versus your bills and so forth. So you've got to listen and you've got to do the things that many people talk about. And by the way, I'm not a professional on this at all. And, you know, I could probably use some help from other people as well on different things, okay? But, you know, like I told you, I think last week, when I was younger, I was very foolish with my money. I would spend it, and I saved very little money. My wife, she was the opposite. She would save money. And that's why I married her. She had lots of money. No, she didn't. But, but anyway, she, and you know, she's helped me in these areas as well. And so, anyway. All right, let me give you a couple more verses here. It says here in Proverbs 22:7, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. So there are dangers in living on borrowed money. Most people living on borrowed money tend to go deeper and deeper into debt. And what do? Then they file for bankruptcy. I worked with a gentleman. I thought, wow, he's making a lot of money. He's got a new car. He come in every so often, brand new pair of shoes, dress really nice. And I thought, wow, he's doing well. Well, come to find out, he wasn't doing that well. He was spending, and he was in big-time debt, and he had to file bankruptcy. Now, the problem with that is when you file bankruptcy, you're not paying the people that you owe, are you? Because you're going through the courts, and they're going to write off that debt that you owe. They're going to write off some of it, and that's part of what happens, and that's not right. If you owe somebody, you should pay them back, right? Okay? And so I've My wife and I have seen that many, many times. People who we think, wow, they got a nice house, they got nice cars, they dress really nice, they've got a good job. We know they got a good job because the job that they're doing, you can make a lot of money doing that, and they're just doing really well. And then later on we find out they're filing for bankruptcy. And I mean these people, both husband and wife, both working and making really good money, and yet having to file bankruptcy. Folks, that's not right, especially as Christians. Okay, and so we got to be careful about this. Okay. Proverbs 14:24, the crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. So we want to be wise concerning finances and not foolish with them. And again, Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. By the way, get counsel if you have trouble with your finances. Get this thing under control. Before you make any big purchase, why not seek some godly counsel? And by the way, there are some big purchases. I have a small leak in my roof, and so had a man there yesterday to look at it. And his recommendation to me is to replace the entire rubber roof that I have there, when it was put on, some things were not right. And so I said, well, how much is that going to cost? And of course, you can imagine that's not cheap. And so, get some counsel on that, or, again, I'm not just going to take his estimate, I'm going to get several estimates. And by the way, you might want to do that. Let's say you, again, I know some of you know this, but some of you don't, and so just please hear me out. Tree cut down. I had a tree in my backyard that was very close to the house, and it was full of carpenter ants. I had a man out, this is years ago, I had a man out, and he treated the carpenter ants, and that was good for about a year or two, and then they came back. Well, I got tired of that, and besides, it was a very dirty tree. It was a pin oak, and in the spring, when it started to bloom, and then all the stuff would fall, would get all over the place, and just kind of a mess. So I decided, you know what, it's time to get that tree cut down. I think I had three or four estimates. One estimate was, actually two estimates were $2,500. Well, that's a lot of money to spend. Then I had another gentleman come in, a third one, and he was $2,250, I think, for the tree. And then I had one other man come in, and he was $1,500. Well, that's a pretty good savings. If I'd have got the first guy for $2,500, I would have lost $1,000, right? $1,500 and $2,500. And so I got, of course, the man that did it for $1,500, and he did a good job. And so you can save. So, big purchases, anything like that, any kind of home repair, anything like that, get counsel, get several bids on it, and, of course, look at the bid, see what they're going to promise you, and so forth as well. All that is important, but get some counsel on those things. Pray about it, too. Don't forget. God can give you wisdom and God can give you help. He is a God of grace, which means he's a God of help. And so pray about these things as well. Don't forget to do that. All right, there's Matthew 7:24. We've already talked about that. A wise man will hear and do. A foolish man will hear and he will not do. And that's not good. There's also a parable in Luke 16, which we won't take the time to look at this morning, but I believe it teaches three things: the wise use of mammon, which is money, the importance of faithfulness, and the importance of choosing the right master. Don't let money master you, okay? You master money. You master your finances with God's help. He says in Luke 16:11, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit unto you the true commit to your trust the true riches. Okay, true riches are God's promises and his wisdom and so forth, not money. Okay, so again, like I said, our goal is not to be rich. In fact, I think for the most part, you would agree with me, we're already pretty rich, aren't we? We've got a lot. We got a whole lot. We, you know, none of us in this room here have to beg for our food or have to ask God to provide food for us day after day. That's one thing we don't have to do. In fact, I think we're more maybe like the Laodicean church. We're increased with goods and have need of nothing. And there's a danger in that. And so we are very wealthy, but yet I think some of us, including myself from time to time, can be very foolish with our finances, and that's not good. God wants us to be a faithful steward. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation, that's your manner of life, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee again. Being content with what we have. Learn to be content. Love to give. Learn to give thanks for what God has already given you. You know what? I don't need a brand new car to be content. Some of you will laugh at me, you know, and I know Pastor used to laugh, and then he bought one, a Prius, all right? I'm not a tree hugger. That's not the reason I bought a Prius, okay? I get in that car anywhere from 42 to 50 miles per gallon. That's pretty good, okay? And I do a lot of back and forth driving. It saves me a lot of money. They're good cars. Many of them have 200 plus thousand miles on them if you take care of them and so forth. And so it's a very economical vehicle to drive. Like I said last week, I love pickup trucks. By the way, I looked that up. I said, I heard that some pickup trucks can cost upwards to $90,000. I found one. Now, most of them are diesel, and most of them are big, heavy-duty pickup trucks, but that is true. I saw a used one with a few thousand miles on, so it's almost new, at a local used car dealership here in the effort of Brownstown area for $87,000. $87,000. And that wasn't brand new, but it was nearly new, but it was a diesel, and it was a 3500 or something like that diesel. So that's a nice heavy-duty truck, okay? But that is a lot of money. How many of you remember when you could buy a nice home for $90,000? Yeah, so that's a lot. And anyway, why did I say? Oh, back to the pickup truck. Yeah, I would like a pickup truck in a sense. No, not really, but I mean, it'd be nice to have at times. And I said I can't afford one. What I meant by that is I don't think it would be wise for me to have one. I don't think the guys that work in construction and so forth, they need a pickup truck. Okay? They need that. I understand that. But I don't need one, okay? For me to have one, it would just be a lust for me to have it. And, you know, how often would I haul something in it? Probably not that often. But to for me to drive around and only get, I don't know what they get. Some of them don't get very good gas mileage, especially if you have a gas engine and a V8, you're probably going to get 12, 15 miles per gallon, okay? That would cost me a whole lot. And some of you guys that have pickup trucks, you know what it costs to fill up your gas tank or your diesel fuel tank. You know, when I fill up my Prius, I don't think I've ever put $30 in that tank, ever. Even with the gas prices now, so think about that, because I know some of you spend at least three times that to fill up your gas tank, right? I'm sure you do. And so, again, I'm not criticizing you if you have a pickup truck. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, if you don't really need one, then you're just throwing money away, okay? That's just my opinion. You don't have to agree with me, but I know there's other arguments you could make. It's safer to ride in a pickup truck than a Prius. Would you all agree with that? Yeah, all right, it is. It's definitely safer. And so you can look at those things as well. So I'm not harping on you if you have one. Or, you know, if you have something else that takes, even if it only gets 10 miles a gallon, hey, that's fine. That's your decision. I just don't feel that I could do that, even as much as I'd like one. And, you know, even if I had a lot of money, I don't know if it would be a good thing. But anyway, move on, Pastor Terry. All right, 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not evil. Money's amoral. But the love of money is the root of all evil. It says, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. Ecclesiastes 5:10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. You know, you've heard this before. When is enough enough? You know, I've heard this, and I didn't get the quote, but I remember reading something similar to this, that they asked one rich man, you know, he had a lot of money. He said, well, how much more do you need? He said, well, just a little more. Some of the most wealthiest people in the world have died, I've read, because they wouldn't even turn their heat on in their house. They were so cheap. And yet they had lots of money. And you could look it up if you want to, the stories of some of the richest people that were so covetous of that money, they didn't want to spend it. You know, that's really wrong. There was another point I was going to make there. Oh, and then there are some people who are very, very wealthy and give much of their money away. How many of you ever heard this? And I don't know for sure if it's true. I know J.C. Penney gave away a lot of his money. But I think I had read one time, too, that the man who built the caterpillars, the big, heavy machinery, I forget his name, but I think I had heard and read that he lived on 10% of his income and gave 90% of his income away. How many of you ever heard that story? Okay, some of you have heard that. I've never verified that for sure if it's true, but can you imagine? He was very, very wealthy, so wealthy that he could live on 10% of his income and give 90% of it away. Now, there's a man who understands what it means not to be covetous, right? And so, again, we have to be careful of this. I'm laying all this as a foundation because I'm going to teach you, hopefully, how to get financially stable. And again, our goal is not to be rich. Our goal is just to be able to rightly use money and so that we're not borrowing money and being wasteful. Because I have here, I guess I'll take the time to look at this now. And then here's a thing I looked up. Credit card balance, $700. Interest rate, only 18%. That's one probably a little bit lower. On a $700 credit card balance at 18%, the monthly payment, if you just pay $25, your total interest payment, for 3 years, okay. And some people do this because they don't have the money to pay it off. I know why I put $700. If you were to have to buy a new refrigerator, okay? Now, I know you can spend $2,000 or more on a refrigerator. You can spend $500 on a refrigerator. But let's just take a $700 refrigerator, and you put it on your credit card, and the interest rate is 18%, and each month you decide, well, I have $25 left over after I pay all my bills, so I can put $25 on that payment. And so you got 37 payments, which is 3 years and a month. And your total interest on that at 18% would be $214.72. Okay, that doesn't sound too bad. But so that refrigerator set of $700 cost you $914.72. All right, that's just a refrigerator. $3,000 at 18%. Now you're going to pay $75 a month to try to pay that off, and you're going to take you 5 years to do that. Your total interest would be $1,615.87. So that $3,000 roof repair, maybe, is going to cost you $4,615.87. Okay, do you see how you're spending a lot more, where if you instead, you say, okay, I know I'm going to need a new roof in about 5 years, which is the time it pays this off. So I'm going to take that $75 and I'm going to put it
$75 away a month. Now, I forgot to figure that out, but somebody compute that. You have a cell phone. Let's take $75 a month times 60. How much do you have? 75 times 60. Who will do that for me? How much? $4,500. So that means you were able to pay off that roof repair of $3,000 and you had $1,500 left over. Now, which would you like to do? Do you see that? Instead of paying an extra $1,000, oh, no, I'm on the wrong page. Instead of paying an extra $1,615, you actually came out ahead $1,500, which helps you to the next emergency that you had. Do you see that? That's being a wise steward. So I hope you see that and get that. And there's some other things here. What if you, let's see here. We can talk about that later, about savings too. And by the way, you should be saving something. And no, that's not hoarding money. That's being wise. Now, I'm not saying save everything. Don't forget, if you want to be, if you want God's help, you got to obey God. Okay, now I'm thankful he helps us even in our stupidity sometimes. He helps us. But if we honor God, what's it say in Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, right? And so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, right? Something like that. So, what do we want to do? We want to honor the Lord with our substance. God gives us money. Let's give back to the Lord. Let's be good, wise stewards, and let's save money. And by the way, you'll be further ahead. So let's say you have you save $4,500. You have a roof repair of $3,000. You have $1,500. Who's going to be able to give more to the Lord? The person who's paying $75 a month on their credit card and paying $4,600 to repair that roof, or the person who puts $75 away in anticipation of that and ends up with $1,500 extra? Makes pretty easy common sense, right? The person who's a wise steward is going to be able to give to the Lord more so than the person who is a foolish steward and has blown $1,600 because he didn't prepare for the emergency. So I hope that helps you this morning. We are out of time. One more verse. Proverbs 21:17 says, "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man." By the way, a lot of people, I love to go out to eat, but I don't go out to eat that often. And I don't care if you, by the way, if you have the money, if you're a good steward and God has blessed you and you have the money, go ahead and go out to eat. I'm not saying you can't do that. What I'm trying to help those of you that are struggling, you're behind every month, you're living from paycheck to paycheck. You know what? You don't have to live that way. You can get ahead where you can, without any guilt, go out once a week to eat, and you have the money to do it, and you can enjoy it, and you don't have to feel guilty like, oh, man, I just spent my, I just spent the money I needed to pay my cell phone bill. I'm going out to eat. And so now that credit card bill for my $75 a month cell phone bill is going to go on the credit card, and it's going to actually cost me more. So I want you to get to the point where you can enjoy these things within reason and so forth. But if you don't have it, now you're going to, we're going to talk about the next couple of weeks some of the drastic cuts and so forth that you need to do to get out of debt and get out of the situation of living paycheck to paycheck until you get ahead a little bit and get caught up. And now you can enjoy some of those things guilt-free, and you'll be able to give to the Lord. You'll be able to have financial freedom in your life, and it's a wonderful thing to be there, okay? Now, we're not trusting in uncertain riches. It doesn't mean that something bad might not happen, and you fall back and so forth, but there's steps to help you so that you don't do that, all right? I hope this is a help to you. Next week, hopefully, I'll get to just some of the things that we need to do. Now, again, I think I told you last week, my wife and I went to a Dave Ramsey seminar on finances. It was on video. Dave Ramsey wasn't there. I do not endorse Dave Ramsey and everything he does, okay? I'm not saying he's bad. I'm not saying that. He has some very good financial principles. But I just want you to know I'm not endorsing everything about Dave Ramsey. And I'm using some of his material and some ideas when I'm going to go through this, but I'm critiquing it a little bit and trying to make it my own and something that I believe and something that will help you. All right. Boy, that half hour goes so fast. All right. Let's have a word of prayer and pray for me as we get into this next week. I'll try to get to, I guess, what we'd call maybe the seven steps, as Dave Ramsey calls them. This, I think he has the seven steps to financial peace. Okay? They're just steps that will help you get to the point where you are a good steward of your money and you can get ahead a little bit and you're not always going into debt or worrying where the money is going to come from and so forth. Again, I say all that to say this too. I realize some of you are struggling financially, and it may not be because you're financially not doing right. And so therefore, as a church, you know, and as Christians, I think we should help people like that, okay? And sometimes even when they're not doing real well, we can still help, but we can't continue to help, right? We can't continue to help somebody if they don't first get their own finances in order so they can get out of the situation they're in, okay? Hope that makes sense. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time that we had. And Father, I pray you'd use it to help each and every one of us to be good stewards of what you've given to us. God, you blessed us so very much. We live in a great country still. I know things are changing, but Father, you've given us a lot of resources. And Father, we need to be thankful, and we do need to learn to be content with what we have. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.